Well, let's get one thing out of the way. There have been so many arguments related to Jesus saying that the mustard seed is the smallest seed and grows into the largest bush and even a tree. But most of the argument is just plain silly. First of all, there are two completely different plants referred to as mustard. We don't even know which one Jesus is referring to. There's the mustard plant from which the condiment mustard is made, and there are several varieties, some of which grew in Jesus' time and region and can grow into a fairly large shrub, but not a tree. And also there's a mustard tree, an evergreen native to the Middle East. It's also called a toothbrush tree because in ancient times, parts of the tree were used by people to clean their teeth. Actually, you can still buy toothbrushes made from that tree on Amazon today. And then there's the fact that neither of these plants, the mustard plant or the mustard tree, have particularly small seeds. There are many seeds which are far tinier. The word that Jesus uses can also be translated least. Maybe Jesus is speaking of the mustard seed's importance, not its size. But in any case, there have been all kinds of arguments. Could Jesus possibly be wrong? How can we reinterpret the text so that Jesus is not wrong? But really, what I want to say is, does any of that matter? Do we really have to nail down exactly what plant Jesus is talking about when he told this parable about the kingdom of God? It is a story, after all, about God's reign on earth. I don't think we have to get hung up on whether Jesus knew his botanical facts or not. To me, it seems best to skip over those arguments and go straight to Jesus' point, which is this: the reign of God might start small. The reign of God breaking into the world might be hard to see at first. But the reign of God, the kingdom of heaven, has potential to grow so large that it can provide a home, it can provide life for the creatures God has placed on this earth. Don't you think that if Jesus were here in Beaufort, he might have picked up an acorn and said, "Look at this tiny acorn." And we wouldn't have to argue that acorns aren't that tiny compared to other seeds. Look at this tiny acorn and how it grows into a mighty live oak tree. Look how this small, inconsequential little nut so easily crushed under your feet can grow into a mighty tree which provides shade and oxygen, a home for birds and tree frogs and Spanish moss and ferns and thousands upon thousands of tiny creatures. Can you not imagine Jesus saying, "Look how this tiny acorn grows into a wondrous, tremendous, majestic tree, a foundation for all kinds of life"? This is the message of Jesus for the disciples, a message which we begin hearing last week as he's sending them out, a message of hope to carry into the world. Yes, Jesus said, the field is full of weeds. Yes, Jesus said, the world is full of evil. Yes, the heart of every person is corrupted by the brokenness of sin, self-centered fear that leads to division and violence and hatred and death. It often appears that humanity is hopeless. At the congregation outing to the baseball game Friday night, a member said to me, "I used to look at the world and say, people are good. But now I look at the world and it's harder to say that." Yes, perhaps it sometimes appears that humanity is hopeless. Literally, mass shootings almost every day. We're surrounded by nearly constant violence related to drugs, robbery, poverty, desperation, the wealth divide between rich and poor. The gap continues to grow. Smaller and smaller number of people have more of everything, and more people have almost nothing. The world is measurably hotter than it has ever been. The evidence indicates the heat waves afflicting the earth this summer are probably the new normal. And those powers, corporations, and governments which could do something about it are mostly still just talking about whether we can afford to do anything about it. Hatred of others, of anyone who is different, people of other races, other nations, other political views, other religions, people of other sexual orientations and gender identities, hatred for others is on full public display. It's even often touted as a virtue. So many who are leaders, politicians, authorities, from the highest level down to the local, so often seem more focused on gaining and holding power for themselves than on doing what is right for those whom they called to care for. And the lie of the world, which the Bible refutes over and over, literally hundreds of times, that those who have no power are to blame for chaos and division. The lie that those who are weak and oppressed, marginalized by the powers, are responsible for problems which they can't possibly change. That lie has been told so many times that even those without power, even those who are being oppressed, are duped into joining the finger pointing, the accusation, the blame, the screaming, pointing at whatever group the powers and principalities are currently casting out. Yes, 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 it sometimes feels, it sometimes seems that the world, that people, humanity is hopeless, doomed, on the brink of self-destruction. How many people do you know who've said, "I just can't read the news right now"? And that is why Jesus said to the disciples, and that is why we need to hear what he said again and again. He says it also to us. The reign of God is like a tiny seed which becomes a big shrub, even a tree. The reign of heaven coming to earth is like a tiny acorn that will grow into a giant, wide-spreading, majestic oak tree, bringing so much life into the world. Friends, this is the good news that gives us hope. Good news for when we feel overwhelmed. Good news when we feel like we can't see God's reign at all. This is the good news of God's grace, God's love, God's power. God is at work. The reign of God is near. The kingdom is dawning. The transformation of human hearts, of the world, of humanity is happening. You know, the very fact that we see the division, the conflict, the hatred, the oppression, and we see it as a problem, as terrible, as evil, that's evidence that God's love is at work changing us. The very fact that we understand God to be at work, lifting up the vulnerable, comforting the downtrodden, healing the broken, the fact that we believe God is sending us to help those in need instead of being mostly at work in the victory of the mighty, boosting the power of the world's winners, strengthening the vanquishers, or cheering the oppressor. The fact we believe God is sending us to those in need is evidence that the good news is changing human hearts. The good news of God is God's love. not power. God's compassion, not destruction. God's reconciliation, not annihilation. So every can of food that you bring to the church or to a food pantry, every dollar you put in an offering, every card you send or prayer you raise for a person on the prayer list, every kind word you speak to or on behalf of someone in need, every act of kindness and compassion, every thought that appears in your mind, that doesn't seem right. That does not look like God's love reigning. Is that the kingdom of heaven? Every word, every action, every thought, every prayer which is shaped by God's love is another tiny mustard seed, bursting with potential to bring forth the love of Jesus Christ in the world. That's the good news we must cling to. It's the reason we're here. The reason the church, our congregation, exists, to continually sow the seeds. I want you to look at this. Can you see it? Of course you can't. Do you know what it is? It's a speck of yeast. 1/8 of a teaspoon of these little specks, a tiny pinch, has more than 5 billion yeast cells. Every one full of life. 3 or 4 teaspoons can raise a 5-pound bag of flour and make 7 or more loaves of bread. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a baker adds to the flour until all of it is leavened. Friends, you are disciples of Jesus. You are the bakers mixing yeast into the world so that God's reign will rise. More than that, you are the yeast being mixed into humanity so that God's love will leaven, will raise up all people. Hear the good news of Jesus. We're called to live the good news of Jesus, to be the good news of Jesus. Amen.